Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ramona and Lisa. Appreciate that. Before we go into God's Word, would you just join with me in a word of prayer before we dive into that? Lord, would you just speak now as we have just primed our heart, so to speak, with singing and thinking about that you are the God of promises, and that you are surely faithful. Great is your faithfulness in your promises. As we've primed our heart with these glorious truths, would you now speak through your word so to capture our hearts with these truths and deepen our affections for them that much more. It's your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want us to read Psalm 132 before we start walking through it. And so if you have your copy of God's Word, I encourage you turn there, Psalm 132. And this would be a good one to really just have it right in front of you and walk through, because it's a little lengthier than the others, and maybe right in front of you seeing the whole thing would be helpful. Once you're there, if you just stand, I'm going to read it aloud, and you can follow along either in your copy of God's Word or on the screen. This is what Psalm 132 says. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, I will not enter my house or go into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. I keep messing this up, I'm sorry. Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jaar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place. You and the ark of your might, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. Amen. You may be seated. This is the word of the Lord. Let me ask you, have you ever pleaded with God for something that you already knew he has promised in his word for you? Have you ever pleaded for something that you just knew? Like, he's already promised that. One way in which I do that often, and I'm not always thinking about it, is when I'm having a very stressful week. Okay, you maybe know what that's like. A very stressful week, just a jam-packed week. So many things are happening. There's not enough time in the day or the week. And you just find yourself overwhelmed, just completely taxed with all that's right in front of you. The to-do list is too long. I'm getting some nods, so they're like, yes, I understand. In those weeks, I find myself praying, God, endure me through this week. Strengthen me. Give me the endurance that I need to be able to do this. And what I think about after I pray that prayer is, he certainly will. He already has promised it, right? I pleaded with God out of desperation, something that I really, really needed, endurance, to be sustained, to be strengthened just enough to make it through the day and the next day and the next day. In desperation, I pleaded for those things, but in those moments, what I really needed more than anything was a reminder. And that reminder is that he's already promised that he would do all those things. Before I even said the prayer, God would already do it because he's already promised it in his word to endure his saints, to strengthen them. Not taking it out of context, Philippians 4:13 is really applicable to that. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. In the context of suffering and hardships, I can endure that because Christ is strengthening me through it. It's a promise already given. Whether or not I'm praying for it, God will do it because he is a God of promises. Well, I think this psalmist here is really teaching on that truth. When we are praying for God to do something that he has already promised, he will certainly do. So I want to walk back through the psalm quickly and show you. I think he really starts with giving two requests before God, two actions he would like God to do. The first one is he would ask God to remember David, and I think in addition to David, David's lineage, God's people, all of Israel. He's saying, God, remember your people. Don't forget us. Don't forget Israel. Don't forget David's throne. Don't forget that. That's in verses 1 through 7. He says, remember, O Lord, in David's favor, for David's sake, right? Remember, would you? And then if you go down to, I won't read the whole psalm again. If you go down to verse 8, we see the second request, if you will. Verse 8 says, arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. The second request, really, verses 8 through 10, I think he's asking God to come and dwell with his people. So not only verses 1 through 7, God, remember your people, don't forget your people, don't turn away and just forget that they're there and that you had a covenant with them, don't forget them, but also verses 8 through 10, God, would you continue to dwell with your people? And then verses 11 through 12, he goes back and gives himself a reminder, really, that God will certainly not forget his people. So the first request that he gave, verses 1 through 7, remember, O Lord, for David's sake, remember. Now in verses 11 through 12, he reminds himself God certainly won't forget. He will indeed remember because God is a God of promises and he has already promised he would never forget his people. Let me read verse 11 briefly. It says, the Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he won't turn back. He already promised this, right? One of the sons of your body I will sit on a throne. If your son keeps my covenant, they shall sit with him as well forever. Right? So he will indeed remember. He won't ever forget David or Israel and his people. And then he gives himself a second reminder about the second request, if you remember. The first request was, God, remember. Don't forget us. The second request was what? God, dwell with us. Be with us. And now he reminds himself, okay, God certainly won't forget us. He will always remember. And then the second reminder is he will always dwell with us. He'll never leave us. It's another promise that he'll do whether or not we ask it or not. And this is verses 13 through 18. The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. And we can keep reading. In that section, he reassures him that what he asked for, it's sure. It's a guarantee. It will happen because God is a God of promises. So that's walking through it very quickly. We'll slow down and walk back through it. But just to abbreviate that, he gives two requests. One, that God would remember his people. And two, that God would dwell with his people. And then the second half of the psalm is reassuring him, those things will happen. Firstly, God will certainly never forget his people. And God will certainly always dwell with his people. But yet we still find ourselves asking for things that God has already promised he will certainly do. The main point tonight is that God is faithful to keep the promises he's already made in Scripture. He's faithful. Great is his faithfulness to always keep his promises. And so my goal for you today, I really want this practical for you. I would love it if you walked out here just reminded and therefore encouraged that the promises he has already made in Scripture are true and they continue to stand today for your sake. They're real and they're true, even the ones in Psalm 132. That's my goal for you today. So, let's walk through the two promises, particularly that Psalm 132 walks through. The first one, request number one, that's in verses 1 through 7. It's a request that God will not forget his people, not forget about me and you. Let me read verses 1 through 7 again. You can follow along. A request that God will not forget his people. It says, remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships that he has endured. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord. Something David promised. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jaar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. So what we see in this text, firstly, the request. God, remember what David, our forefather, did. And then really, he gives two things. He says, God, would you just remember David? Please remember David. And particularly, remember, firstly, all the hardships that he's ever had to endure. God, remember the struggles that he went through. And secondly, remember, God, that he committed himself to building your temple before he got his own house. Remember that, Lord. Remember that David promised. It says how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed, give sleep to my eyes until I build a house for the Lord. And it continues on into the next verse there. So basically, the psalmist is saying, Lord, would you remember that David has sacrificed for your name? Just remember that. He suffered greatly. He endured much hardship. And he was willing to sacrifice his own bed and his own sleep until you had your temple built. Remember, Lord, how David sacrificed for you. And then really, I think in the next part there, verse 6 and 7, he's really saying, and let me just mention how beneficial it was for the rest of Israel. It was a service for all of Israel. Even the people in Ephrathah and the people in the fields of Jaar heard about it or were reached. Now, Ephrathah is, I had to do a lot of research to figure out that name. It is another name, oddly enough, different places in Scripture for Bethlehem. Another name for Bethlehem. And the fields of Jaar is so small, it's really no one even knows exactly where it is. And so what we can get from this is saying, David is willing to sacrifice for you, God. He suffered much, or he endured much hardship, and he was willing to build the temple before he even got his own bed. And then it says, even the people in Ephrathah and even the fields of Jaar were able to go and worship there at your temple because of what David did. And so I think what the psalmist is doing is really giving an account for the merits of David's hard work. Even the people in the far-off places, in the lowest of places, benefited from how much David worked on your behalf. I think that's what he's saying. Even the places of lowest standards. Bethlehem was a very low standards place before Christ, of course, came. And even then, people questioned it because of that. So basically, I think the request goes that the psalmist is asking God to remember all that King David did. He suffered and he served greatly. And I think he's putting that before God. God, don't forget, remember that, with the hope that God would, because of that, continue to honor and love his people. God, don't forget what David did. Don't forget how much he suffered. Would you continue to honor his lineage, honor Israel and the throne? I think the request goes that he's saying, God, don't forget David, in the hopes that God would continue loving Israel. I think about when Sarah was pregnant, she would ask me at the strangest times to go and buy the strangest of food because she was pregnant. Any guys, you ever had that request from your pregnant wife? Would you go buy just weird stuff, really weird stuff? I don't even know what the weirdest thing was. I mean, we didn't get like crazy, like ice cream with mustard on it. But I mean, it was kind of odd, right? It was still odd. And I was always willing to do it, like even late at night, like she's like, no. I was. But I mean, it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and she's like, I want two McChickens from McDonald's right now. I would love that. And I'm like, okay, you know, like I'm willing to do it. And I remember one time she asked me, she's like, would you go get me a McChicken? I need it right now. And I was going to do it. And I think at this particular time, we were actually at the church with Lena. And so it was literally across the street. And so I was going to go do it, but I kind of, you know, stretched it out to see like how much she would plead me to and beg me, right? I mean, just because I really wanted to savor that moment. And it's so bad. And I was like, well, I don't know. I got a lot of work. And she's like, Isaac, please, would you get me this McChicken? I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. And she's like, Isaac, and then she starts, you know, giving me like, if you do, then I will. And then I'm like, oh man, I really got to stretch this out. And she gets like, well, you can buy any book you want. You know, it doesn't matter how much it is, just one book. And I think Lena might even remember this. And I'm like, well, maybe I guess I will. And I was going to anyway. It was sure. It was. There was no question about it. I was going to go get the McChicken. It's not a big deal. It took 5 minutes. But she wanted to just plead and just ask anyway, and I think I was kind of egging her on to do that. I think the psalmist here is pleading with God and giving a case about the merits of David so that he could get God to continue loving Israel when God was going to love Israel anyway. He was going to continue caring for Israel no matter who David was, because God's love for Israel was so much greater than just David and David's service to the Lord. God loved Israel, but God is faithful to his promise. And we can see that in the reminder that he gave himself in verses 11 and 12. Let's go there. He says, the Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body, I will sit on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. You see in the text that the Lord swore a sure oath. And this, in the original language, is just truth. That's what it is, that word. It's just truth. He told David truth, that one of his descendants will sit on the throne. And we know that that was Christ. It was a messianic promise. One of David's descendants would sit on the throne forever. And if others in him would continue to follow after him and live for him, then they also would sit on the throne with him. This was a promise that God made. And it wasn't just because of David's merits. It was because of God's faithfulness. God made that promise anyway. And God was going to continue that promise, not because of who David was, but because he made the promise already himself. So I want this to speak to you tonight in your own situation, okay? Let's turn this into application for you and me. Do you ever feel like you have to convince God or make a case for yourself to continue walking with you, to still love you? Do you have to almost show your best side to God, or else something might change in the relationship. That you might be unworthy, unclean, maybe even most so, undesirable. So you have to really make your case good, because it's questionable how lovable you are before such a great God. I want us to learn from the psalmist's request here. You don't need to bring your merits before God for him to love you. You don't need to pray, "Would you just remember my parents' work? Would you just remember how holy my parents were? Would you remember David's works and all that he did, God? And so therefore, would you continue loving me?" Or even, "God, would you remember all my works and what I've done for your name? Look at how I've served your church, God." You don't need to pray that. If anything, you can pray, "Remember Christ's work, O Lord," as you plead your case before God. Remember Christ's work, O Lord. And I think actually that's what this text is alluding to. David in this text is really foreshadowing Christ. If you go back to verses 1, and we'll do this quickly, side note, but Christ is foreshadowed in how David is described. Because what is it about David that really is advocating for God's love for the people? That David suffered. And that David was willing to do whatever was necessary in order to make God's dwelling place possible among men. And he stepped out of his own palace in order to make God's dwelling place among men possible. Do you see that? You know who did that greater? Christ. Christ suffered. So as we look at verse 1, I think it really is foreshadowing us to say, "Remember, O Lord, in Christ's favor, all the hardships he endured, and how he stepped out of his own heavenly palace in order to make the dwelling place of God among men possible. Oh, remember Christ, Lord, so that you would never forget us or leave us." If anything, pray that. Certainly don't pray, "God, remember my merits. Remember my parents' merits." Another question I have for you. Do you ever feel like he would leave or give up on you? I tell you what, I can easily do that, think that whenever I just mess up and mess up and mess up and mess up, it's so easy, isn't it, to think, "Oh, if I was God, I'd be fed up with the constant mistakes, the constant messing up, the constant sin, the repentance, but then also falling right back into it." So it's easy for me and you, I think, to feel like God's right at the brink of leaving, right at the brink of giving up on me, right at the brink of not being able to handle the baggage that I bring. He's fed up. Well, I think with that, if that's you, can I just speak to you and encourage you, learn from what the psalmist reminds himself. God has already made a sure oath, regardless of the merits or the lack thereof that you bring before him. He's already made a sure promise, a sure oath. He has already stated truth to you. That he won't turn back. All who follow Christ will sit with him forever on a throne. You and I might have a short fuse for imperfections, but he does not. As deep as your sin goes, let me tell you, his grace goes deeper. Would you just let that soak in? Because you need that. If you are really questioning God, "I feel like you're at the brink of leaving me. I feel like you're at the brink of being fed up," because I would be with myself. Hear me. As deep as your sin goes, his grace goes deeper. And he has already stated a sure oath that he will not turn back from. Verse 11 promises you. Cling to that promise. God will always love and desire his people. And if you have faith in Christ, you are his people. He will always love you. He will always desire you, no matter the stains that you make. The second promise that we see in this text is that God wants to be around his people. Not only would he not forget them, but he wants to be around his people. And the psalmist asks for that. If you go to verse 8, I told you we're going to be jumping back and forth here. In verse 8, he asks of God something that God has already promised he would do. He says, "Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Let your saints shout for joy for the sake of your servant David." Again, because David, God, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. So he's asking God, arise and go to your resting place or your dwelling place. And the effect of that, when God is to dwell with his people, there's a few things that naturally come about because of that. One, when God dwells with the priests are clothed with righteousness. That happens when God begins to dwell with those priests. Also, when God begins dwelling with his people, the saints will begin shouting for joy. And as God is dwelling with his people, as we know, through Christ, he doesn't end up turning his face away from the anointed one. Now, this is the request. This is not the promise. This is a request. God, would you arise? Would you go to your resting place? And as you do that, would your priests be clothed in righteousness? Would your saints begin to shout for joy? And would you not turn away from the face of your anointed one? Okay? There's four elements there, and I need you guys to help me remember them, okay? Can you remember the God? Go to your resting place, okay? Brett, I need your help here. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Lena, saints are going to be shouting for joy. Yeah. Sarah, last one. I just grabbed the people in the front row. Sorry. No harm done, I hope. Do not turn your face away from the anointed one. This is the request. God, would you do these things as you would dwell with your people? But you know what he needs to reassure him of and remind himself of? Those very things have already been promised. Go with me in verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired for it to be what? Lisa knows, his dwelling place. God desires it to be his dwelling place. He's already desired it, we're asking, but he says, I already want it. I already am desiring to dwell in Zion or with my people. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Not because you've asked, because I desire it, because I already want it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Verse 16, the second thing. Her priests I will clothe with salvation. Righteousness, salvation go hand in hand. He's clothing the priests or his saints, because we are a priesthood, clothed with salvation. Lena knows what's next. And her saints will shout for joy. It's a promise that's already given, with or without the request, because God has already made the promise, and he's a God of promises. We'll continue on, because that's not the last thing. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed one. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but him, his crown will shine. Do you see this? He requests that God would dwell with his people so that the saints would be clothed with righteousness, that they would shout for joy, and that the anointed would not turn his face. And then he needs to remind himself, God already desires to dwell with his people. The saints certainly will be clothed with righteousness as he dwells with them. They will be shouting for joy, and the anointed one will not turn his face away, but he will. His crown will shine. And he has a lamp, again, was shining. I want to reflect here. God will dwell with his people forever, not because he was asked to, Not because we said, oh, come on, God, wouldn't you just arise and come to your dwelling place? Come on, would you please? No, he's not coming to dwell with his people because of that. It's because he already desires to. And he already intends to. And the other things are sure. So again, let this speak to you tonight as we're wrapping up. Let me ask you a question, okay? And think about it honestly. Do you ever get worried that God isn't present or active in your life? Do you ever just feel like, man, I don't know where God is because of what's going on right now. I don't know where he is or how in the world he could be with me in the midst of all this and this is still happening. I want you to learn from what the psalmist needed to remind himself. God will always dwell with you, his people. He will always, forever, it says, dwell in the presence of his people. And let me tell you, before you start thinking that he does so because he feels obligated to, and because it's some burden to have to be around you. You know those people where it's like, they're noticeably showing they don't want to be with you, but they kind of have to be, and they're like, they're showing the sign, right? Before you start thinking that that's God, that he has to dwell among you just because he has to be there, would you be encouraged that he says two times in that text, I desire it. I want it. I want to be with you. I want to walk through life with you. I want to hold your hand and carry you through life. I want to be with you. He desires to be around you. So maybe what you need tonight is not some bizarre miracle or some huge answered prayer with whatever you're going on. Maybe what you need tonight is simply a reminder that God is a God of promises. And there are so many promises that God has already given you in Scripture that you can cling to in your situation right now. You might not need a bizarre miracle. You might need to be reminded of the sweet promises of Scripture. Maybe you're concerned about what the psalmist was, that God would be sick of you, and you have to make a case for yourself. Oh God, would you just remember David? Or would you remember my works? God, please just think about it. Before you leave me, think about how much I've suffered. If you're concerned that maybe God is sick of you, or that he needs to be convinced of why he should love you, cling to the promise that the psalmist did. God already loves to dwell with his people, and his promises are a sure oath that he will always keep. Maybe your prayer, though, is something else. For divine strength, to make it through what you're going through. Or for that the bad that you're facing would somehow turn around, to make something good. Maybe that's you. Whatever you're going through, and it's terrible, that God, would you just make it, somehow would you make good come out of that? Maybe your prayer is that he could possibly still love you, even knowing what you've done, even possibly recently. Let me tell you, all those things that I just spouted off are promises and guarantees in God's word that he will certainly do. He will strengthen you. He will bring good out of the bad. And he will love you if you are in him and put your faith in him, no matter what you've done. Let me tell you one last thing. He almost made it. Almost. Let us be encouraged as we are all reminded of the promises that are already given in Scripture that you and I just need to cling to. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your promises. Would we cling to them? Would they be sweet to us as we need them most desperately? Would you help us remind ourselves of the good promises you have already given, so to sustain us through everything we go through, for there is hope with the God of promises. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.